28. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable.
Good morning. Saturday is Community Day. Begins at 5 o'clock, goes till 8. We'll have a meal, barbecue and hot dogs, snow cones, funnel cakes, pony rides, carriage rides, inflatables, live music, a school reunion. What more could you ask for, Steve? Than what we're going to have. Not a thing. Just, we want our community to come and be a part. We're going to have fire trucks. Don't forget the fire trucks. So, look forward to seeing you. Invite your friends. I said, put it out on your social media page that it's going on. Because I really think last year was interesting. Martin, who has been in charge of PR to a large degree, and Mike, but I think Martin put it out on Facebook, pictures of the pony rides and all. And if you noticed, our crowd grew. That's how rapid that works. I think people decide this is the place to be. So put that information out, and hopefully folks will come and just enjoy the day. And then the next day, on Sunday, we'll begin Vacation Bible School Sunday evening. We'll have classes for all ages. Next week, Tony Holt will be speaking to our adult class. So come and just plan on spending the week. It's going to be hot, so what better place than to be in an air-conditioned building with your brothers and sisters studying the Word of God and encouraging our young people. Well, just come plan on spending the week together for a lot of fun and service to God and the community and an opportunity to learn from the Scripture. So we look forward to that. Tonight, we have a treat. Owen Cooper will be here speaking tonight as a guest speaker. So come and take part in that tonight at 6 o'clock as well. So just lots of things going on, active place. Glad that you're a part of it. Want to talk about what Proverbs says and then what the Hebrew writer will write in Hebrews 10. And this is a thought and a concept that I have discussed with us really many times. And it's one that we need to address as Christians to a world that, or to a culture, I'm not so much the whole world, but certainly to our culture, who feels a closeness to God, even maybe to the church, but probably aren't diligent in seeking God. And so I want to talk about that, because that is where the Hebrew writer will kind of end his discussion, or it won't end it, but as he moves into this hall of fame of faith about earnestly or diligently seeking God and the importance of that, because so many people that we all talk to feel a relationship with God, yet it doesn't seem to reflect in their life and their practice. And I certainly don't want to be judgmental. That's not my point this morning, but there doesn't seem to be fruits of the Spirit. Not that they're hoodlums, but it just seems like God is not an active part of their life until they come to a moment of crisis. Where they need prayers, or maybe they face the loss of a loved one. And as I've shared with you before, what's the comment of almost everybody after the loss of a loved one? What's the comment? They're in a better place. Right? They're in a better place. And there is a better place, but not everyone's going to be there. And I don't say that in a haughty way. I don't say that in a judgmental way. I'm just telling you that's the Scripture. Broad is the gate, and broad is the way, and where does it lead? The teachings of Jesus. Where does it lead? I got told a week or so ago that if I wanted discussion, I had to come out of the pulpit. Sandra, thank you. It leads to destruction. But narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Now, is it exclusive? Depends on how we define that term, isn't it? Is it exclusive? Well, what do we learn from John chapter 3 and verse 16, which is one of the favorite passages of our time? And part of that is, and I don't think it happens anymore, but maybe it does and I'm just out of touch. But years ago, on a Sunday afternoon, when you were watching football, at least once the screen was going to panel on a guy who had big fro hair that was red, white, and blue, or purple, or some color, right? And he's shaking his head, and what did he have on his sign? What did he have on his sign? Surely we remember. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Why did Jesus come? So that everybody might have eternal life. God does not desire for anyone to perish. God does not desire for anyone to perish. And at the greatest of expenses, sent his Son to die that we might have forgiveness. But, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, or narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Even though the opportunity is there for everybody, and it's God's desire. It's what God wants for all of us because we are all created in the image of God. We're created in His image. For those of us who are parents, we love our children. Is that fair to say? We love our children. And I mean, once we have children, the whole world changes. In a great way, in a good way. And our focus changes from being about ourselves to our children. And things that they like, things that help them grow, things that keep them healthy so they can be educated, so they can get jobs and get out of our house. No, that's not why we do that. But we spend lots of time and energy and money and resources on our children freely because we love them and we want great things for them. God desires the same thing for us, to the point of sending His only Son to die for us. The Scripture would say, if God did not withhold His only Son, then what is it that He would keep from us? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That is God's desire for us to have eternal life. For us to have eternal life. All right, and that needs to be the backdrop of the discussion that we're going to have. That's what God desires. Now, has God prepared a place where He's just run out of room? No. God hadn't run out of room. And we're going to see it here. Because from what is unseen, God has created everything that is seen. That still baffles us as to how God did that. But God didn't just take and mold clay that existed when there was nothing. God created everything. So God is not going to run out of room for us. But here's what the wise man Solomon, who got his wisdom from where? From God. From God, who says, a person who turns a deaf ear on the law. What the wise man is saying, the person who doesn't listen to the words of God, who doesn't pay attention to God's word and follow them and listen to them and apply them in their life, even their prayers are detestable. Even their prayers are detestable. As much as we love our children and we go to the ends of the earth for them, there comes even a place and time where occasionally it happens, and hopefully we won't be a part of that, where they just turn their back and turn away, that we just have to say, I can't reach you anymore. Until you change, I can't enable you. I can't continue in that. And God comes to that point. If we turn our back on God, who has done everything for us. Now let me, and I'd say, I don't think I could ever turn on one of my children. And I'm not talking about turning on them. But I'm talking about, because here's the deal, what Jesus did, what God did. He sent His Son to die for us. All right? God made the decision to send Jesus to die and to suffer. We're not talking about quick and easy. We're talking about Jesus leaving a position of royalty in heaven itself. Okay? Coming to earth as a poor man. To be tempted and to suffer and then to be persecuted physically and spiritually and emotionally. And then die and be 3 days in the tomb for us. And when we come to a knowledge of that truth, and this is important, when we come to a knowledge of that truth and then we reject it, then we reject that truth. What sacrifice, what opportunity is left? That's the question. There's no greater sacrifice coming. There's no better news. We talk about the gospel being the good news. There's no better news coming. No better news coming. We always want the best, don't we? We always want the best. I'll share something personal with you. Had a little stock, very little. So it's not going to make all that much just one way or another. But the stock was at its 52-week high. It broke its 52-week high. If you look back at this stock's history for the last 5 to 7 years, it will reach close to that 52-week high where it was, and then it'll drop $20. It'll start its way back up. It's done that cycle. So after riding it for a while, I said, hey, I'm not stupid. When it gets to that high, I'll cash in, and when it drops again, I'll just roll back in. And so I'll get some dividend, and some appreciation. Well, guess what happened when I sold at the 52-week high? It blew through that like a rocket to Jupiter. It just kept going. And it, you know, while I still, you know what they say, you don't ever go broke taking a profit. My feelings are hurt because I left money on the table. And it's still going. And I'm out. You know, sometimes that paralyzes us to not make decisions, right? Because it might be better. The Hebrew writer is going to tell us, and God has told us, there's nothing better coming. God sent the very best of heaven for us. This is the sacrifice for our sin. This is the avenue and the opportunity for eternal life and resurrection and relationship with God. And if we reject it, there's nothing left. It's not that God doesn't love us anymore, but when you give the very best, there's nothing left. And when we come into a knowledge of the truth, reject or trample on the very best, it hurts God. When He said, I sent my Son who gave His life in a painful way, and you have rejected that. Let's read the Hebrew writer. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. The Hebrew writer is saying, there's nothing greater coming. If we don't accept the sacrifice that's been made, there's not a greater sacrifice coming. And He makes a point, and I want to make that point this morning. Not only is it about believing in the sacrifice, but He connects the way we live with faith. With acceptance. Because it has come. Who is He talking to here? He's talking to those of us who have a knowledge of the truth, who have had the opportunity to hear God's Word preached and to read the Word of God. We've come to a knowledge of the truth. And if after coming to this knowledge of God's love and the great sacrifice that He has made for us and the detriment that sin causes, and we continue to march on in worldliness and to hold on to sin and say, "But I like it. I like it. I enjoy this. This is what I want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do." There's no greater sacrifice coming. The question, when are you going to repent and walk in godliness? If you know the truth and reject it, there's nothing greater coming. There's no other sacrifice for sin coming. If we're not believing what Jesus did and changing our way of life, then there's nothing greater coming. Let me make something clear here, crystal. After we come to God in faith and decide to walk in the ways of godliness, to repent, to leave worldliness and to walk in godliness, are we going to be perfect after that? This is important. No! And the Scripture acknowledges that. John especially will talk about the continuing cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. It's not a one-time cleansing occasion. John will tell us in his letters, if we continue to walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. We're not going to be perfect. Sinless. Jesus was. However, the Hebrew writer is saying, if we continue to willfully sin, if we say, "I know this is not what God wants me to do, but I'm going to do it anyway," and we continue in that, there is no sacrifice for forgiveness of sins left. There's nothing greater coming. If we reject the sacrifice of Jesus, there's no sacrifice for sin. There's nothing else coming. The animal sacrifices were surpassed by the blood of Jesus. But there's nothing greater coming than Jesus Himself. If we reject Jesus and His sacrifice and continue to walk in sin, the only thing left is the fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. That's not a better place, but it's real. Is that what God desires for us? We've established that it is not through Scripture and through sacrifice. But once God has given His very best, what's left? There's nothing greater left. There's no other opportunity coming than the one we have through the blood of Jesus. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now, we talk about Old Testament kind of stuff, right? It's a little shocking sometimes when we read it, because what are the punishments many times? Stoning, right? Being put to death for certain sins. One that always scared me and made me glad I live in this era was disobedience to parents. Was punishable by stoning. Man, I'm pretty sure I'd have had some rocks thrown at me through the years. But there was punishment for sin. Again, on two or three witnesses, when someone was disobedient, there was punishment. When there was rebellion and rejection, sometimes the whole earth swallowed them up. Remember? You can almost see the picture. The earth starts shaking and the rebellious people are all there together. And what do people start doing? They start backing up. Just like every now and then folks get scared when they say something that at the very least stretches the truth. and there's a clap of thunder, and they start, lightning's going to strike. But we understood that there was a punishment for sin, and it was pretty direct and visible. And the law of Moses, while it was given by God, in no way compares to the gospel message that you and I have in the sacrifice of Jesus. One is by far inferior to the other. The law is inferior to the gospel, to the law of Christ. And that's the point the Hebrew writer makes. How much more severely, if there was immediate punishment under the law of Moses, how much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? Do you see the point the Hebrew writer is making? He said it's not about law. It's about when we hear the good news of the gospel and the sacrifice of Jesus, when we are not obedient and faithful, it is rejecting Christ Himself. And so if there was punishment for just breaking the law, and that all brings fear to us, and there's always this discussion about mercy, and we all want mercy. When I read this, what's the thought that comes through all of our minds? It's about mercy, isn't it? You don't have to say it out loud. Most all of us want mercy. And if you're not about wanting mercy and thankful for the sacrifice, we need to talk to you about ego. I'm not being ugly to you. If we're honest with ourselves, we understand the need for mercy. And we look under the law and we say it was severe. But I'm going to tell you something. When we talk about crime in our culture, everybody wants God to be merciful and forgiving, and why would He punish people and that? But when we talk about crime in our culture, what does everybody want? Punish them. If they'd let the police do their job, we could stop that. Put them in jail. Fry them. Burn them. Beat them. Do something. That's our rally. Because we understand in us that there's a need for justice. And what God has done is paid the price so that we can be free from justice. But when we reject the sacrifice, when we reject God's own Son, there's no sacrifice left. And we have accepted the punishment that comes with rejection of the law. If we all understand, and I'm going to close on this point, I told you it'd probably be a two-parter, Mike. We all understand that breaking the law requires punishment. Most all of us get that. And it's right. The Hebrew writer says, understanding that, then how much more should there be punishment when we don't just reject the law of God, but when we disregard and do not appreciate the sacrifice of the Son of God. There can be no greater sacrifice. There is nothing greater in all of the universe than God's Son that He gave. Because the underlying principle that I wanted to make sure we got as we began was that God wants everyone to be saved, doesn't He? But when we reject God by being faithless and disobedient, there's no greater sacrifice left. We'll talk more next week. It's a call for us to diligently seek God. It's a call for us to diligently, earnestly seek God. But it's also a reminder for us to carry the good news to the world, because God desires for them all to be saved, and to talk about the sacrifice of Jesus. It's a call for us to esteem, for us to appreciate what God has done, and live our lives then in service and sacrifice to God, remembering the great sacrifice He has made for us. Do you remember the prodigal son who left home, took all the money and ran? There's something to remember here. Not only did he take the money, which is sometimes what we think about, but in taking that money, here's what he really said to his dad. Here's what he really said to him. you're dead to me. I want my inheritance now. When do you get an inheritance? When somebody dies. You're dead to me. I want what's mine. And hey, he didn't go down the road because he said, you know, I think, Dad, if you'll just give me a little seed money, I got a plan that can really work. He said, I'm getting away from you. I don't want anything to do with you. Give me my money, I'm leaving. And our boy ain't real smart. Because he spends all his money partying. In riotous living. What about that? Riotous living. Until what? All his money's gone. He had rejected his father and his father's values and his father's relationship. But when his father sees him coming up the road, what's his father want to do? Say, I told you so, I told you so. He kills the fatted calf and he puts a ring on his finger and he welcomes him home. There's no greater sacrifice coming. But for those of us who are sinners, when we come in repentance, there is forgiveness at the foot of a cross. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.